Say big at Menards and keep cool in the summer heat with a new window air conditioner from Denali Air. Quickly and efficiently cool your spaces with auto and eco modes to maximize performance and save on energy costs. Featuring 3 fan cooling speeds and a remote control, allowing you to cool your space from anywhere in the room. Save big money on Denali Air. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at Menards.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Dark Forest. If you're new, subscribe and smash that thumbs up. Download your favorite scary story and listen to me on the go wherever you may dwell on my Apple Podcast and Spotify. Tales from the Dark Forest. A shout out to Matthew Bauer and all my patrons and channel members. Now, let's get spooky. The scratches were deep. Blood had been drawn. The fact that they were self-inflicted were testimony that something was undoubtedly not right with James. The restraints creaked with every sharp, rigid movement he made. The sound he let loose made all their blood run cold. It started very low, almost animalistic. The sound gained in volume and pitch until ears felt as though some psychopath had embedded a fork into each one of them and was scraping inside with the utmost vigor. Jeff and Marco looked at each other as they stood above the bed that contained the body of what once had been James. Fear. Fear was so evident in them, it seemed to be written on their foreheads in luminous font. It had just been a silly game. Nothing more and nothing less. The goal of the game was to talk to a spirit, to see what it knew about them, or what was in store for the future. Because according to the stories, spirits could tell you that sort of stuff. What they had brought into our realm was far from the idealistic spirit they had imagined. They were under the illusion it would have been friendly and cooperative. How wrong they had been. James' skin had taken a yellowish tone. His breathing was fast and shallow. From time to time he twitched, like a dog does when it is in the throes of a dream it cannot wake from. They didn't know what to do. Jeff shook him. All that accomplished was to show them the whites of his eyes as they rolled back into their sockets. He stopped, and they just stared at the ghastly sight of their friend before them. The bed rattled and shook as James started seizing. "What do I do?" Jeff shouted in a panic. "Open his mouth and hold his tongue so he doesn't bite it off," came Marco's reply. In a flash, Jeff gripped James' jaw and pulled it open, while immediately inserting 2 fingers into place of his tongue. The shaking and convulsing persisted until again, James let loose the blood-curling sound he had made earlier. And with that, looked directly at Jeff. What Jeff saw in his eyes of James were not human. Their gaze was broken when suddenly, Jeff felt the most excruciating pain he had ever felt course through his body. He looked down and let out a scream as he saw James covered in blood, with 2 badly removed stumps where his fingers had once been. James laughed eerily, but not before he chewed the fingers he had unorthodoxly removed and spat them onto the floor to his side. Jeff screamed until his throat was raw, all the while holding his maimed hand. His fingers laid on the floor in front of him, chewed in such a manner they no longer really looked like fingers any longer. In shock, Jeff reached down with his good hand and picked up his lost appendages, cradled them close to his chest and crying. James' laughter continued while Marco stood there, unable to move or say anything. The game had gone well at first, or it seemed. They set the board up, darkening the room and lit the candles as the instructions had indicated, They joined hands, said the incantation, and proceeded to all lay hands on the small bit of glass that would guide them to the letters and phrases that were spread out on the board, and that the spirit would use to communicate with them. They asked in the room if anyone was present from the spirit world were there, and it was not until a good few minutes later that they all felt a gentle tug on the glass that led them to the block on the board it marked, "Yes." They looked at each other in excited disbelief, and went on to ask their spirit friend a number of other questions. Little did they know, they had invited something that was interested in more than playing a game with a few young adults. "What do we do now?" Marco screamed at Jeff, who now sat on the floor cradling his disfigured fingers. Jeff was of no help, and James continued laughing, although the pitch and tone of it changed drastically. It sounded as though he was laughing in a cave, and it was echoing all around him. Marco looked around the cabin for some sort of guidance. It was a very minimalistic room. A single table in the center of the room, board games still atop. Their sleeping bags littered the corner of the room. The section that contained the kitchen, messy as a toddler's room, littered with empty beer cans and alcohol bottles. The wind blew gently outside, gently rocking the door on its hinges. Marco, being the only one of sane mind, entered the kitchen. He tried his cell phone again, but due to their location being out in the woods, network eluded the cell phone. He could not make any calls. He considered getting James and Jeff into the car, but instantly thought of when drama had started and James had been spitting and babbling like a crazy person, while all the while clawing at his own skin. He thought about how he felt when the spirit they had been talking to informed them that they would all perish together, and that it would make one of them its own. James had apparently been the chosen one. Getting him to the car now was out of the question. They had to deal with the situation here. His thoughts were interrupted by the desperate shouts of Jeff, and upon turning back to them, saw James had broken the restraints of one hand and had wrapped his hand around the neck of the fragile-looking Jeff. He thought quickly, opening the kitchen drawer and drew a knife. He knew not what he was doing, but ran to the bed and began stabbing. The knife penetrated James' chest over and over, each time opening a wound from blood and a foul stench poured forth from it. He stabbed and stabbed until his arms gave up on him and he could stab no more. He collapsed onto the floor, turning his neck to see Jeff cowering in the far corner of the room. Dismembered fingers left lying forgotten on the floor. The smell became too much and Marco began retching. The vomit rejected from his mouth, covering the floor, creating a disgusting mess of vomit and blood. He vomited until he was throwing up bile. The knife he had been using covered in blood at the edge of the bed, untouched by the vomit at least. Marco rose to his feet and walked tentatively to the bed, eyes open and chest gasping with knife wounds. The smiling face of James still seemed animated. Looking at the body, Marco felt nothing. What lay dead before him was no longer the man he had known since he was a child. What lay before him was something else. Gathering himself, Marco walked out to the shed and proceeded to dig a hole right behind the cabin. He dug and dug, oblivious to the rain that had begun to fall to the earth, cleaning the earth and washing away all that was wrong in the world. He finished the hole and went back into the cabin. He dragged the body of it off the bed, through the vomit and blood mixture and out of the cabin. The wounds poured blood onto the floor, trailing it all the way out. The rain did its job and washed every speck of it away with the dirt. He dropped the body into the hole and covered it with dirt. Walking back into the cabin, he put Jeff's arm around him and hoisted him up. They left the cabin without collecting any of their belongings. Marco loaded Jeff into the passenger seat of the car. Without even looking back, he drove like the devil was behind him. He did not stop until he had reached his house, 60 kilometers away. Still wearing clothes, he opened the shower and put Jeff in with him to wash the blood and dirt off. The bleeding had stopped, but he would need medical attention. It was late right now, and the rain still pounding away. He would give Jeff some painkillers to knock him out, and he would take him to the hospital first thing in the morning. He put Jeff into the guest room. After having sedated and dressed his friend in some of his bedclothes, he, Marco, was still in shock. His mind had not yet comprehended all that had happened, let alone that he had just killed his friend. He got into his bed and pulled the covers up to his chin. God, it felt good to be in a comfortable bed. He was exhausted. He had survived an ordeal. His eyes fluttered and he drifted off to sleep. Not long after he had fallen asleep, he was awoken by the same pungent smell that had been let loose when he had killed James. He opened his eyes and immediately felt his heart in his throat. James sat on the edge of his bed, blood and mud still covering him. The stab wounds evident in the weak glow of light coming from the conjoined bathroom. The voice that came from James's mouth was not his. It sounded as though at least 5 people were speaking in unison.
"Hey, buddy. I'm back. All for one and one for all. Where I go, you go. Darkness."